glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter. Knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, July 13th, 2018. A wise woman once said, her name was Karen Harrison, that if it's worth saying, it's worth saying again. And so as Jason Schiffo's on vacation today and giving myself a day off, here's a re-airing of last week's program. And before I continue with reading from Exodus chapter 9, as typically our practice on Fridays, you were praying about a softening of Pharaoh's heart, and I was thinking, after your message on Sunday and after last night's movie viewing, there's been a softening of my heart. I watched Forrest Gump last night.
Oh.
You used a little clip during the Sunday message, and I thought, you know, I haven't seen that for a long time, and, you know, it's very creatively done. Now there's some, I guess you'd say, adult content, not overly adult, but some kind of mature things.
I don't remember. I haven't seen it in forever.
It's very creatively done where there's Forrest back in, like, with Kennedy or with Johnson.
And oh, yeah. Isn't there a scene where he's a young boy and he's dancing with Elvis? Elvis teaches him how to dance?
No, he's actually, that's when he had the braces on his legs. And because of that, he had to move his hips and his legs differently. And Elvis is watching him. And Elvis is, like, saying, hey, do that again. And then next thing you know, Elvis is this popular, the king. And then he's doing that dance just like the, anyways, there's a lot of fun little creative ways they've used that movie. But at the very end, I forgot about this, but I welled up and teared up a couple times. I got it all choked up. I'm sitting there watching it alone, and I'm like, wow, I don't know, it was that time of the month for me or something. I had great sensitivity, but I was like, wow, I'm really getting choked up. I can almost bawl. But part of it, that Jenny, when she comes back into his life, and then Forrest finds out that he's a father.
Yeah, he's a dad.
And it was pretty powerful. And I was kind of sitting there watching it, choked up. But anyways, the catalyst to watching that was because you used that portion in the message about life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah,
that's classic. So, reading from Exodus chapter 9. I'll begin with the tail end of verse 7. In this ninth chapter, yet his heart was unyielding, we're speaking of Pharaoh, and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. What's going to happen next? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. So really interesting here is that notice how God has his missionaries, his ambassadors, partner with him. This is, I mean, God is sovereign. God is omnipotent, omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. He could just do this himself. Why does he need Moses and Aaron to go to the furnace and take handfuls of soot from the kiln and then throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh? Because God calls his ambassadors, his missionary, God calls his people, his disciples, to be a part of the mission. This is not just something that we obey and do. This is something that we actually are a part of. And what I love here is that he's taking handfuls of soot. So what is soot? What do we think about when we think about him taking handfuls of soot? We think about Moses and Aaron having to get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
You know, and so that means ministry is not clean. Ministry can be a dirty endeavor. And ministry, when we're following God and listening to God and doing what God says, it is a dirty affair. And so it's really interesting. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air. Why Moses? Because Moses is the one who is the doer. Aaron's job is only to speak. That's what Aaron is brought along for, because Moses said, well, I'm not good with speech. I stutter. I need help. And so Aaron is called to be the mouthpiece for Moses. But Moses is the one who's supposed to be doing, leading his people out of Egypt and confronting Pharaoh. And so here it says, Moses, you're going to be the one who's going to throw it in the air, because you're the doer, and I need obedience from you. I need to know that you're in. See, a lot of people would say, well, what does God need this? I mean, this is where God just wants us to act like his robots. He wants us to do what we say. No, God wants to know that our heart is in it, that we're actually willing to do it. You know, there's a huge difference and a huge disparity of thinking about doing something good versus actually doing it. And so many, many people think about doing things. I mean, how many ideas have never seen the light of day because we've thought about them, but we've never taken them to fruition. We've never gotten them out in front of us and used our hands to actually, and our feet to actually make them happen.
How many people say, I'm going to write a book someday?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But they never get around to it.
No, they never get around to it. Because hard work, and by the way, I think that following God is hard work. Hard work is something that we don't always want to apply ourselves to. We like the idea of hard work. We like the thought of hard work. But hard work is just that. It's hard. And so it's not something we always want to endeavor to do. So here, God's like, get your hands dirty. Get in the thick of it. Grab some soot and throw it up. Now, throw it up in the sight of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
You have to love that. Because, again, who is Pharaoh? You know, what is Pharaoh's job? Who is Pharaoh in the world? I mean, he's one of the most despicable, powerful, tyrannical men in history. And Pharaoh, by the way, declared himself to be a god on earth. And so here, Moses is going to Pharaoh, to the most powerful person on the earth, with handfuls of soot to throw them in the air.
Yeah.
Now, just stop for a minute, and immediately, what does that make you think? It makes you think, like, well, that's awfully foolish. If somebody came into the Great News Radio Center and threw some handfuls of soot in the air, you'd be like, what's wrong with that guy?
Bounce him out of here.
Yeah, you'd bounce him out of here. You'd be like, what's wrong with that guy? And so, but the Bible says that God will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And Pharaoh thought that he was the wisest person ever. He thought he was a god on earth. He thought he was all powerful. He thought that every idea that he had was the best idea. And so here, Moses goes and he does something that might seem absolutely foolish at the moment. And that's to confound the wise, because the foolish things that it feels as though we as Christians are doing, behind that is the power of God. If we're obedient to God and God has called us to do it, behind everything that apparently might seem foolish, the power of God stands. And so when you go and talk to somebody about something, or you go and engage something, or you do something and you feel like, gosh, I just don't even know if this is working, it just seems so silly. If God's called you to do it, then the power of God is behind that. And so no matter what the world might say, the power that created the world is behind you. Mm. And so it says that do it in the sight of Pharaoh, verse 9, and it shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt. And so, again, here's something that is absolutely miraculous, right? I mean, how much soot do we have here?
Hmm.
How much soot does it begin with?
Yeah, handful.
Yeah, two handfuls. And now we don't know how big Moses' hands are,
yeah.
You know, but we have to presuppose that there's only so big your hand could be. I've never seen a picture of Moses where he's got huge, like, kind of clown hands. And so
the Hulk hands.
The Hulk hands, yeah, those ones you can buy in the store that my kids have on. But he takes two handfuls, and those two handfuls become a fine dust over all the land of Egypt.
How much of the land?
All. All of the land. We have a special guest in the studio today. Can you define for us what all means, Jacob Schiffo?
All means everything.
Let me turn that off. Try that again.
We have a special guest in the studio, Jacob Schiffo. Can you define for us what all means?
All means everything.
We'd like to give a round of applause for our special guest. But it says all of the land of Egypt. So that means every single bit of it, all of it. And so two handfuls of soot become a fine dust over all of the land. Why? Because God is sovereign over all of the land. God is sovereign over everything. The same God who multiplied the loaves and the fishes here can multiply the soot to become a fine dust over all the land. And so it shall become a fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in the sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. This is the first of the plagues that affects man directly on him. It affects who he is. It attacks, for lack of better terms, man. Before you had the flies and they were heavy on them. You had the death of the livestock, which affected what they could eat and what they had. You had the frogs and the gnats. You had the river of blood. You had things that were affected, but it didn't attack man directly as in his person, in his physicality. And here men are being attacked directly, physically. Boils are breaking out on man and beast throughout the land of Egypt.
And the NIV version is not just boils, festering boils.
Festering boils.
I don't even want to describe them, but it could be
nasty. I was going to say, did you even need to be more,
yeah,
you know, metaphorical in terms of, you know, your what they are? They're just bad.
Yeah.
They're just bad. So here, men and beasts alike are being afflicted all over the land. And I've seen in movie versions, I've seen some different pictures, you know, where all the men have these boils on them, these red sores, and just how miserable they look and how miserable that must have been. Again, we've talked about this so many times in, pertaining to Pharaoh. What was Pharaoh's job? What was the job of the Pharaoh? What is the job of anybody in power in a government, in a country, or in a nation? It is to care for the people. And so Pharaoh, once again, because of his hard heart, because of his own proclivities and what he thinks is right and what he thinks he wants to do and the stand that he wants to take opposing God, once again, the largest percentage that suffers because of his hard heart is the people of Egypt and the livestock of Egypt. And so here they all break out in these boils, and it just has to be just so miserable. And they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in the sores of man and beast. And so it comes to fruition. It happens. Moses is obedient, and God keeps his promises. Let's understand something here, that it's not only that God keeps his promises in the good things. It's here. God keeps his promises where judgment is concerned. When we read a passage like this, this ought to make us pause and think about all the passages in Revelation. Think about the passages that Jesus spoke regarding judgment. That it's not if they happen, it's when they happen. That God's promises for the good of your life, for all things that he promises to bring upon you, for all of those things. His promises of judgment stand too.
Yeah, I remember meeting with somebody and they said, oh, the God of the Old Testament is so terrible and wicked and does all these things, but the God of the New Testament is all loving and caring. And I said, have you read Revelation?
Yeah, I mean, they're the same God and the same judgment and same degree of judgment. I mean, I think about, I forget what chapter it is in Revelation, where it says that he is holding back the winds from the east and the west and the north and the south. And what that passage means is that he's restraining his wrath. He's restraining his anger. And so God is practicing a kind of restraint that we cannot have, but his judgments are true and his judgments will come to pass. Mm-hmm. And so here, that's what happens. And so it says that they broke out on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians.
It's like perfect.
Yeah.
The very magicians that were replicating some of these other miracles or doing their magical arts to cause something to happen, now they can't even stand before him because of the boils.
Yeah, well, and the other thing about this is that we need to understand that every single one of the plagues, remember, what did God say earlier before the plagues happened? He says, I will bring judgment upon all the gods of Egypt, all the little g gods of Egypt. And what do we know about Egypt? Egypt worshipped many gods. There were gods all over the place. They worshipped the god of the Nile. They worshipped the god of the sun, Ra. They worshipped the god of the sand. They worshipped the god of the wind. They worshipped a god for everything. Whatever it was that was done in Egypt, they had a god for that, so that they could pray that somehow whatever they were doing would happen, that there would be strength and creativity and all those kinds of things. And so it's thought that this would have been Imhotep, who was the god of medicine, because the magicians would be the closest people to Imhotep. They would be the closest involved in the worship of him and the practice of worshiping Imhotep. And so here, this is showing the sovereignty of God, that these men who were closest to the god of medicine, the Egyptian god of medicine, were affected by the boils. Yeah. No matter their closeness to their false god could not save them. You know, it reminds me of that old Jewish story that's told about Abraham. You know, Abraham was in his father's house, and he would come downstairs, and he would go into his father's idol room, and he would look, and there were idols made of wood and idols made of ceramic and all kinds of things. And so one night, Abraham decided to go down, and he took an axe, and he broke all the different idols, and he stuck the axe in the hand of the largest wooden idol. And his father came downstairs the next morning, and he said, Abraham, Abraham, what has happened? And Abraham said, well, I think it's quite clear what happened, Father. It looks as though the biggest idol killed all the other ones. And he says, well, that's impossible. They are just made of wood and stone. And Abraham looked at his father, and he said, then why do you worship them?
Yeah.
And the same could be said here of the magicians, that magicians were leading the people of Egypt to worship all of these false gods. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says that it would be better for you that a millstone was tied around your neck and you were thrown into the deepest part of the ocean than for you to lead these little ones astray. Mm-hmm. For you to lead these little ones, these children of God, to worship false gods. Mm-hmm. And what is around the whole Exodus, what is the issue that God is continually hammering home? Let my people go that they might what? Worship me. So many times when we talk about the story of the Exodus, we only talk about the let my people go, let my people go, let my people go. No, let my people go for a specific purpose, that they may worship me. Hmm. And so the issue is worship. And I just think right here, one of the things that I always think when I read this passage is that God's like, you know, I've just kind of had enough with those magicians and their false worship and their little g gods. I've just kind of really had enough of those guys. And so here, it's apparent to all the people that these guys have no power. Before, it looked as though they did, right? I mean, they could replicate some of the miracles. So even maybe, you know, maybe the people were like, well, you know, the magicians, maybe they're having a bad day today. You know, the magicians, maybe they're just off today. You know, the magicians, maybe like on Saturday, they're not really good at replicating miracles. Hmm. You know, but here we see because of them being directly affected by this plague, that they themselves are powerless before a sovereign God. They are powerless. Mm. And they came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. What I love about this is, you know, prior to this, what do we have? Prior to this in this passage, we have a hierarchy. We have Pharaoh, and he's on the top because he's the big dog. And then we have the magicians, and they're leading worship, and they're doing their thing, and they're below Pharaoh, but they're up there. And then you have the common people, and they're down here. And so you have, like, Pharaoh up here, and the magicians kind of right here. Nobody can see me because it's radio. That's awkward. Yeah. And then down here, you've got the common people. And here, when it says that the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians, it's like, whoosh. It's a level playing field. Hmm. The magicians are no better than the common people, and Pharaoh is no better than any of them either. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person has that same problem. The problem that only God can cure. The problem that only God in Christ can bring about help, freedom. What we've been talking about, salvation, deliverance. Only God can do that. And that's what God keeps graciously reaching out. We talked about this earlier in the program, graciously reaching out to Pharaoh and saying, you don't have to desire that. You don't have to be that, but you're going to, because I know your heart.
Now, there's not a specific mention here of Goshen. It does say on all the Egyptians.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily say that it also was on the Hebrews.
Yeah.
Do you know a little more if... Did it not hit into Goshen?
Yeah, it
does say not in Goshen.
Yeah, it didn't affect the Israelites, because it would have said so here. They are God's set apart people, and they're set apart from also having to be directly affected by these plagues. Now they are affected, you know, on a level, because Egypt is being affected.
Right, right.
The people of Egypt are being affected. I mean, their taskmasters and the Pharaoh who governs over Egypt is being affected. So they're being affected, but the direct effect, God has by his grace and his mercy kept them from that. And just think about all the things in your life that God by his grace and his mercy has kept you from.
Right.
Even though the culture is reeling out of control and things are happening in the culture, God has kept you from some of those things because he wants to protect his people. Mm-hmm. And so it says here, but the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Now, right there, that's loaded. People get really upset about this verse right here, because they go, well, wait, God is bad. God is making Pharaoh's hard heart. God is making an evil man even more evil. No. God knows the heart of man. Jesus says, knowing what was in their heart. Paul says that God knows and understands the heart of men. And so God knows what's in Pharaoh's heart. He knows what Pharaoh desires. Romans chapter 1 says that he gave them over to the desires of their heart. He handed them over to it. There is a point where God says, look, if that's what you want, if that's what you really want, I'm going to let you have it. But I'm going to let you have it all. I'm going to let you experience every bit of it. Because sometimes we don't know how dark it is until we stand in the midst of real darkness. Mm-hmm. Till every single light is extinguished and we cannot see at all, do we realize how scared we truly are of the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, Lord simply gives Pharaoh what Pharaoh wants the most. And it says, and he did not listen to them. as the Lord had spoken to Moses. The Lord knows he's not going to listen. The Lord knows he's not going to change. But it doesn't stop the Lord from 10 times coming to Pharaoh with an offer of salvation, with an offer of being able to do what is right. Because that's what the Lord does. How many times have you, listener, done something, been involved in something, been a part of something, and you have example after example or incident after incident where you know it's wrong and somebody is trying to lead you and guide you out, which, by the way, is the Lord doing that. And you continue in what you are doing because it's what you want to do. And you feel that knocking, but you're just like, no, I know better. And that's what's happening here. And listen, for Pharaoh, it doesn't end well. And for all of us who turn our back on the Lord, for all of us who try and live apart from His grace and His salvation, His free offer of freedom, for all of us, it doesn't go well. And so I just ask, I plead with you, like Moses, and I'm willing to be foolish in doing this. I'm willing to throw soot in the air, tear back, whatever I need to do, to tell you that you need to seriously consider where you're at and the darkness in which you live and come to the light. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no other alternative. There will come a day, Philippians says, where every knee will bow and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you will either bow in joy or you will be made to bow in submission. And let me tell you, friends, that day does not go well. It does not go well. And so if you don't know who Jesus is, we would love to hear from you. We would love to help you understand what that means to follow Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus, to accept Him and call Him Lord and Savior.
You can find a trained counselor, a great person to talk to on the phone to answer your questions about the Christian faith, what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have questions about the Bible, they'll love to talk with you. It's a free call. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's somebody there 24 hours a day, so call anytime and talk with them. And for those of you, senior saints, or those of you that are following the Lord Jesus Christ, Jason and I also, let's be mindful that there are times we tend to harden our heart, and we don't want that conviction of the Holy Spirit to kind of move us to change or to discontinue a habit or a practice or whatever. Be very careful and be conscientious that the Holy Spirit is working on our hardened hearts all the time, and we want to be open to being pliable, being used of God, and being effective according to His plan and purpose. So open your hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where you're at on that faith journey. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.